2 Timothy 2:15 talks about a workman, one that is said there in the text to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. I notice that there is some skill involved in rockmanship. My neighbor is a professional, or was a professional, stonemason with a tremendous reputation for doing quality work. Of course, his work would involve selecting certain kind of stones, cutting them to fit, making sure that they were mounted, mortared, and when the job was done, everything was clean to everybody's satisfaction. The downriver version of that stone cutter is a lapidary. A lapidary is a cutter, a polisher, a designer, sometimes an engraver of precious stones. That's what you have pictured in 2 Timothy 2:15. A scriptural lapidarian, able to rightly divide the word of truth. And that word, of course, rightly dividing is a medical term, orthopedic term, that essentially is a gives the sense of making a straight cut so as to be able to piece together, okay, to make a straight cut. Then there's no finer rock than God's word. That's figured in some of the words that Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. You know, the passage where he talks about, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. And he gives a little parable there about a wise man and a fool. One builds on the rock, and when the storms come, as they will, his house stood. Where the fool builds on the sand, the storm comes and sweeps the house away. And so in Luke 6:48, the foundational rock on which a wise man builds his life's home is nothing more or less than God's word. God's word. And that's quite a rock. Quite a rock. A real dazzler in terms of its ability to sparkle. And a couple things also, it is said about God's word that it's pure. The writer of Proverbs said, every word of God is pure. The apostle Peter talks about the word of God in another way, in which he says it is precious. God's word is precious, as it is pure. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, and in the 6th verse particularly, we can attest to the truth of the purity and the preciousness of God's word when we see that there in verse 6, Christ is the chief cornerstone. Christ is the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He is the rock of our salvation. And so the select gem for tonight is the word able. You might say this, I don't know how long I'll be able to do this or be interested in doing it, but tonight's study, Wednesday night, gems and jewels. Tonight we're going to focus on a word. A word. And the word is able. Able. Like, for example, Jude 1:24 has good news for us. Great news for us, as a matter of fact. We are human beings subject to ups and downs and doubts and ins and outs. And there it is said that God, of course, he is able to keep you from falling. That's good news for Dick Barnhart. He's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. He's able to do that. There are numerous other references. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 is another one. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. He's able. We also know a portion of Hebrews 7 verse 25, where it is there noted, he is able to save to the uttermost, and applied particularly all them who come to him. He is able to save to the uttermost. And then there is this, particularly applicable to a prayer meeting night. Sometimes people stall in prayer because they simply don't. They're not able to connect their thoughts in any logical form to make prayer. they want to pray, but they sit there and there's nothing comes out because it just seems like the brain goes faster than the mouth can move. However, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Ephesians 3:20, we find there that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. And even when we can't think, he's able. And when there are no words to speak, we have the great intercessor who is able to utter our petitions to God for us. He is able. Now, I want you to look at some application truths with regard to this focal point tonight, this gem of the word able. And I want you to join me trying to think. Dan, help me about, give me, I think it's in Luke's gospel, two blind men were following the Lord Jesus. I can't think of the reference, and I did not write it. Two blind men came to Jesus. I'm assuming that they wanted to have their eyesight restored. Anybody nail that down for me? He asked this question of them. They get him.
Matthew 20, verse 30.
Read it to me.
And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.
Okay, continue.
It's also in Luke. You were right.
Luke 2.
And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, woe ye that I shall do unto you. They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him.
Okay, now the other expression in Luke's gospel has the question in connection with the healing of two blind men. Here's the question that focuses in on our gem. Here's the question he asked them. He says, believe ye that I am able to do this? You know, to restore the sight, just like Shane read there. Do you believe ye that I am able? Now the word that we focus on in these references, just a few among many, the word able is translated from the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis. In its various forms, you have, I would say you could use dunamis as a root word, and then you have some other parts of speech, depending on the context that you find it in. But it references the inherent power of God. We can understand that dunamis is, if you equate it to dynamite, is powerfully explosive. And so here's an explosive application. Think about several things with regard to this application. The nature of God's dunamis, as for example in creation. In creation, his power. Without exerting any explosive device, all God did to bring about what is speak. Now, think about the application, the logical application of the truth in relation to the rock, the word. If the mighty power of God in creation brought into being what is simply by the breath of his mouth, where then is the power of God's word when you read it or you hear it spoken? If God's power is explosive as it can be, is able to move and form and shape according to his will, do you suppose maybe that in our timeline, our era, that the fuse has been pulled? Think about God's word, God's dunamis in conception. Particularly with Isaac, the conception of Isaac, the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the mighty power of God in that. And what again did he do? Without any exertion whatever, He determined it. It happened. And it didn't happen any sooner than what he designed at the time and place of his choosing. Think about also the containment, the mighty power of God in containment. How he was able to contain the waters of the Red Sea for a period of time to allow his people to go through on dry ground. And whenever they passed through and were safe, he released his restraint and the waters crashed down. Think about the fact too, you go on and on with the displays of God's dunamis. Think about the blessing of God, his power where Daniel was concerned. He closed the lion's mouth. He closed the lion's mouth. And again, if you parse that out a little bit further, we know that there is a lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And only the providence of God and the display of his mighty power is able to keep you from being the next meal on that creep's menu. He closes the lion's mouth. There's another passage in this gem here tonight with using the word able. If you can look at 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 9, point of application. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. In the overall immediate context of free and cheerful giving, when the giving is done and you've given all that you have, when you've given all that you have, it says verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. To what end? Question is answered in the same verse. That ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Three times the Greek word in verse 8 appears, that's translated twice as abound, and the other one appears as a modifier, the word make. And it is a word that means to excel exceedingly. To excel exceedingly, over and above the call of duty. So when you look at that 8th verse, God is able to make all grace abound, to super excel toward you and me, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound, super excel, over and above the call of duty, to every good work. I want you to think about that. I read a story this past week. It was a frothy kind of a narrative, but the idea was really sharp. And it had to do with this question the man asked for thought and consideration is, what can God do with a blank page? What can God do with a blank page? And the man described a situation as he was sitting at his computer desk. And a notable author, a blogger, whatever a blogger means, he was one of those. And he worked off of a time schedule. There were due dates that he had to have his next piece written. And so he's sitting down at this computer screen, just looking at this blank document, and his kid comes in, his 5-year-old, walks over to him. Dad, what are you doing? And Dad says, I'm writing. And the kid looked at him. He said, no, you're not. You're not writing anything. A couple minutes later, the kid gets up in his lap, and he begins to mess with the keyboard. Takes his finger and he starts one at a time hitting a letter. First letter was P. First reaction of the dad was to stifle him because, you know, you have work to do and you're under a time constraint and you don't want people messing with you and interfering. But he let him go. So this kid, 5 years old, begins to punch out letter by letter, word by word until he completed a sentence. And all that he wrote on the page was, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so the dad took from that the first step to getting where you want to go is the first letter on the empty page, and let God do what he will with the empty page. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you and me to every good work. So if you're thinking, you know, what can I do? What should I do? What is appropriate to do? And you're at a loss. All it takes is the first step, the first hand extension, and then let God finish the rest of the composition to his praise, honor, and glory. Give some consideration to this tonight. God's dunamis, working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's able. Our Father and our God, would you please seal to our hearts the study of your word. Help us, Lord, to live by every bite, every morsel, and to be awed at every shiny gem in the inspired record. And help us to be nourished up in the word for Jesus' sake. Amen.